Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for your people here tonight to turn aside the things of the world, come back to the house of God. We thank you for the precious book we'll open. And Lord, there's a known fact that people come to hear me preach Sunday, Wednesday night, and Wednesday night, with a few speakers in between, missionaries. And I know years ago, when you hear the same person over and over, you kind of get used to the gestures, get used to the presentation. And so if it's just a man that's speaking, there's just no one will listen much of that. But when you speak the word of God, I believe people come because they love you and they love the word. And they realize it might be just a small spiritual morsel of bread that you would give to someone or they'd get, but it'd be something they need this week. And we thank you tonight for these people who come. Now help me be a blessing to them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 11. And I'm going to give an introduction and read a few verses of scripture. You know as good as I do, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world of turmoil. There is no peace on this earth. Every way we turn, we've just gone through a mess in the last few weeks. If I could see your heart, probably like God sees it, there's a lot of trouble in here. We hide some things. Some people work all their life, and all of a sudden, like 2 to 3 weeks go by, lose just about everything they've got because somebody else was greedy. Amen? Now, we live in a cruel world. And we need more than just, people who want to retiring, worked all their lives, sometimes 40 years or more, and they get to the point they can think they're going to have a peaceful type of life and finish out their life, maybe just doing what they want to and serving the Lord, and all of a sudden find out they can't. They're telling us now, according to the news media, that people who used to retire 55, 60 years old can make a living, and now that anybody retires, the way things are going, unless they got a full coffer of some kind or another, they may have to work to be 70 years old before they even think about retiring. And so we just live in a time that there is no peace whatsoever in this world. I heard someone say recently, read a little article, said one person said the worst thing about retirement is doing absolutely nothing. And then they said the worst part about doing nothing is you can't ever take a day off. Is that right, Brother Alfred? You just never get a day off when you do nothing. Also, I heard something the other day. Brother Richard, you like this one, I think. A person said that that he had a big advantage for having a bald head. And his friend said, well, I never heard that before. Why do you say that? And he said, well, when company comes, the only thing I have to do is straighten my tie. I thought that's pretty good. Amen. Amen. When in Isaiah chapter 11, I want to read verses down about 6 through 9. And then I'll give you the title and make a few comments. I think it'll be a blessing to you. The prophet Isaiah said, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie together, notice, down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass, that is, a snake, where snakes bit at. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy it in all my holy mountains, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. In Isaiah chapter, if you look over about, chapter 11. Look in chapter 11. Look in chapter 48. Over in chapter 48. We just read chapter 11. In chapter 48 and verse 22, the Bible says that God speaks through Isaiah again. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. You know why man is constantly looking for peace and says peace, 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 but never has peace? Because God said there can be no peace among the wicked. The hearts are not made in such a way to even have peace. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you have to have peace in here before you can have peace horizontally with others. Because we don't know what really peace is. We analyze it, but if I can have peace and get along with the neighbor, have peace and get along with a person, have peace and get along with a nation, have peace and let them kind of be what I want them to be. But the thing about it is, we have to be what God wants us to understand peace of the heart before we actually have peace among ourselves. Now, the introduction to this, for reading some other scriptures, is religious thinking makes room for everybody. And religious people talk about having peace also, but they can have peace because their heart's not changed either. They just can't have it. Religious thinking makes room for everybody. Every denomination, every sect, every believing system, every philosophy. I mean, there are those with high values and low values, and then you got some with no value at all. You got those who believe in gods in the plural, and then you got those who believe in a God, don't know who he is, and then there's some say they don't believe in no God. They talk about God coexistence with us in some form or fashion. We can appease the God who they don't know who he is, and so they come up with all these ideas of who he is. Coexistence says, let us try to get along. After all, there are too many roads. There are many roads to truth, and view on one road on another. The goal is truth, and all these roads lead to truth. We know that's not so. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Coexistence makes room for everybody. It makes room for Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, Christianity, Scientology, witchcraft, atheism, and all the other Islam that comes up. Religion makes room for that, and coexistence is a term that religion uses in the sense of getting along with everybody. But with God, there's no such things as coexistence. With Jehovah God, we have one vision, we have one standard, we have one law, we have one belief system, one value system, one moral code, one code of ethics, one code of conduct, and one family culture, and that's all centered in God Himself. So when we talk about peace, then we have to listen to what he says about peace. And he gives us some prophecy here about what's going to happen sometime in the future. You and I have never seen what he's talking about here. But we will one day. And by the way, we'll not see it in the sense in these bodies because we can never have the peace inside to manifest to others that would bring harmony among the rest of the world, even the animal world. Did you know the animals don't have, it's not their fault they're in what they're in. It's not the fault that the lion will kill the lamb. It's not their fault that the wolf will destroy another type of animal. It's sin's fault. There was a time they could live together in absolute peace. But when sin disrupted the peace in our hearts and we began to rebel against God until he draws back. And even now, you and I have a two system in these bodies. Everyone in here, if you're saved, there is a system that is a new creation, and there's a system that's the old creation, and they're constantly battling each other. And we don't even realize what's happening, and we're talking about peace, and there can be no peace until these two systems have peace within themselves. And the only way that can be is the new creation to dominate the old creation. That's the only way it can be. So I want to speak to you a few minutes on God's peace in this world. What did you make of such a text as we just read? Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6 through 9. Look in Isaiah 48, I just read verse 22. Or Isaiah 65, which you turn and read with me now. Isaiah 65 and verse 25. What God says again, confirming what he's already said, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be to the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. I can't even imagine something like that had God not said it, that you'd have such a harmony, Brother Johnny, where that these would be together, and all of a sudden, instead of the lion eating the lamb, he's straw. He's grass. If you look also in Jeremiah chapter 6 over a few more pages, in chapter 6 and verse 14, God evaluates it through Jeremiah like this. He said, they have healed also the hurt of the daughters of my people slightly. In other words, we want peace so bad that when a person begins to talk about peace, we want to hear and we listen. And come as much as we want it so bad, we believe what they say. And God said that they are slightly, they heal also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. Said, peace, peace. And that goes forth to peace, 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 peace. And notice he said, when there is no peace. Isn't it amazing? We hear that in our own government. People are talking about peace, trying to have peace. And I don't guess there's ever a place on this earth that's not numerous factors of fighting all the time. There cannot be peace on this earth until the Prince of Peace comes. So what do we make of such texts as this, where God is talking about an unusual situation where even animals get along with each other, and it can't happen as long as we're like we are now? In other words, this new creation is going to have to be removed. In the book of Romans, it teaches us that the creation itself groans, waiting for the manifestation of God's people. So the day will come, they get in the glorified body, and there's a uniting of the new creation in the glorified body where there's absolute harmony. And there's going to be absolute harmony through the whole universe when that happens. I don't know what kind of animals are going to be in heaven, but there are going to be animals in heaven. He didn't tell us much about that. You say, you think they'll be raised from the dead? Listen, God don't have to raise them from the dead. He can create them if he wants to. So I don't know. They've got people going around now. They say, yeah, animals are going to be raised. I've never found that yet. I've never even seen scripture they said proved it to me. But I tell you this, you and I are. We're going to be raised. And another thing is the fact is, whether he is or not, whether he raised an animal, it don't make any difference. He's going to have some over there on the other side when we get there. Woody Allen said years ago, and of course you've got to listen to him, you know, he's already got it together, Woody Allen has. And he said, the lion and the calf shall lie down together, but the calf won't get much sleep. that's the air we're living in right now. And that's true. Think about burying your face in the lion's mane. Think about petting him as he purrs like a little kitten. Think about the goat and the grizzly bear being the best of friends. Think about the lamb and the wolf munching grass together in a field somewhere or another. It's unheard of, isn't it? They've never seen anything like that before, unless they couldn't get at each other. It might be two fences right together and can't get to each other and have a munching somehow or another. And even then, you'd find that some of them wouldn't be eating the grass. They like meat. God's final redemption is not for the human beings alone, but for all creation. Romans chapter 8, verse 22 tells us that. They are waiting for the manifestation of God's people. God's plan for animals are secret to us. We don't know all, but we do know that there will be some when we get on the other side. God's promise is a radical transformation to this world, and it comes through Jesus Christ. This world's instrument of death will be made, and he says, into the instruments of peace. And he gives in Isaiah 2, verse 4, the sword beaten into plowshare, he said, and no longer nation will rise against nation. Now, there's got to be a radical change before that happens, because there's no way in this world that man will ever live together as we are now in the curse of sin without having to have weapons of some kind and nation being against nations at the time. A place where, you may not realize it, but there's going to be a place one day where those like George Bush and Saddam Hussein will sit down peacefully in Jesus Christ. I'm not saying him himself, but I'm saying people like them. By the way, there are some people on this earth, ladies and gentlemen, who is probably worse than Hussein was, but if he gets born again, they're going to be in heaven. You see, what a wonderful God we've got, as you see that. There aren't people like David Duke and Jesse Jackson that one day will commune together if they know Jesus Christ as Savior. They're completely opposite in what they believe and what they're doing, but when there's peace, there's harmony. And there's understanding. And so when Jesus comes, there will be such a peace as God's talking about right here. And it will be a peace because the peace that brings that about has to be in you and I, who God has created for that to happen. And the lining up is not what it should be at this time. Let me give you a couple, 3 points what I'm talking about now. God's peace in this world. Number one is this. As I think about this peace and try to visualize what it'd be like in a world like that, that means that you can't even grant. That means that you can talk to people and never get upset because they have the peace of God. That means there'll never be hard feelings towards anyone because you'd have the peace of God. I mean, that is an unusual atmosphere, isn't it? I mean, you'd be honest with it. The very ones you love the most, you have a lot of trouble in words once in a while. Why is that? Because there's really no peace. There's two things going on in these bodies of flesh. And Jesus warns us to never be naive about peace. That is, never be foolish, never be lack of wisdom about peace. Don't be deceived about peace. In a world today that's cursed with sin, where fangs are baring and mouths growling and teeth are snapping at each other, it's hard to hope for much peace. You have a little bit of peace and somebody destroy it the time you meet them. You can have the best day in this world at work and start to come home and somebody through road rage come across you somehow or another and you change your countenance in a minute. I never thought. I'll be honest with you. When it comes to driving, I try to be peacefully, but I declare I have some thoughts come through my mind on road rage that it bothers me. It bothers me. I mean, I know you're not that way. So in this world we're living in, such violence and rage is the problem of our political world. It's the problem of our snarling hearts. And I read an article too long by Carl Sandburg. And here's what he said. And, you know, it amazes me in looking at the scriptures and understanding God is talking about a utopia here, but we're not there yet. But what he's talking about there, he's talking about inside of us that can have a peace in a way that we can never thought of before. And Carl Sandburg wrote a poem called Wilderness. I don't know if you ever read it or not. And in that poem, he said, it manifests to him that under his real vow of heart, he said, I am a zookeeper. And I thought, good grief, what's he talking about? And I began to realize, hey, so are we all. I want to tell you, there's something living in here other than just you. There's a time of rage. And that's not the new creation. God's word comes to the zoo of our heart and causes the lion and the lamb to live together. And I'll bring those two together a little bit more to let you know what I'm talking about, because that's the two the Bible talks about, the lion and the lamb. And he talks about others, but I'm talking about, you see the end in just a minute. Christ tames the war in us. And we get saved and he doesn't tame it. It's not his fault. Christ gives us the ability to tame the war in us. In Mark 5, one day, Jesus met a self-destructive maniac in Gadara. You remember what he said? He said, what is your name? Jesus said. And he said, my name's Legion, because there's many. And Jesus drove the demons out with his word, and the people found him, that is this man, in his right mind. Now, it amazes me, when he was running through the tombs, cutting himself, crying and yelling, they were afraid of him. And now they come and find him in his right mind, sitting, clothed, and they're still afraid of him. They got some things going on in their heart also. If you do not have peace with God, to have the peace of God, there's always a howling zoo inside of us. And when you and I get saved, then there's a new creation and the new creation, which are two combating each other at this particular time. So Jesus said, don't be naive about peace. There is no peace, saith the Lord, with the wicked. There can be no peace in anyone's heart. There can be no peace in this world as God would give peace until there's peace in our heart. And that peace in our heart comes when we trust Christ as Savior. And then he gives us the power and the necessary elements to bring peace in our heart with God. We can have peace with God. And then we can have the peace of God as we allow him to rule in our hearts and dominate the old nature. Number two, only Christ can make the lion and lamb live inside us in harmony. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you want an analogy of what's happening, when we trust Christ as Savior, the Bible does say he's the Lamb of God. But there's also a lion in us too. That's the old nature. The old nature doesn't care one thing about what's happened with the new nature. It's there all the time. That's who gives us our part. Our hardest part in life is the old nature. And so when I look at these two now to narrow down, why is it that I say sometimes, why is it I do what I do? Why is it I act like I act sometimes when I know better? Letting the lion rage up in my heart rather than the lamb. But I've got to have both. I've got to know how to handle both in life if I'm going to please God. And I'll show you in just a few minutes. Only Christ can make the lion and lamb live inside us in harmony. Too many, the angry lion is dominant. Sometimes we tear ourselves, and sometimes we literally tear others for reasons that we do not fully understand. I saw a TV program advertised the other day. I can't imagine the name of this, Wise That Snap. Anybody seen that? Barbara, please don't ever snap. Because they kill their husbands. That's the name of the program. Wives that snap. No, I don't know about husbands. And that's what it's about. I didn't realize numerous of women snapped. In court they snapped. That's like the Black Widow I seen the other night on the Creation Channel. I didn't know. I see the mate of a Black Widow. You know, the male, I believe it's the Black Widow, the male dies. she kills him, eats him. Boy, I'm glad I'm a human being, I tell you. Strength, isn't God got a wonderful creation? You don't understand something. Why would God, God created that. I'm glad, in a way I'm glad, because that fellow, he can't spread no more than spiders around, amen, if he's gone. But Christ can make the lion and lamb lay down in harmony. We lash out even to those that we love. You know you do. You know you do. I love this woman. God knows it. She'd give us, God give us 46 good years together. But when you live under the house at times, there are things that take place that you wish had never taken place. I'm in a real world, folks. I'm not some religious fantasy, religious world trying to play everybody thing. I'm telling you, God is real and He gives you victory. But there's things you look at yourself and you will never do one thing about yourself unless you let God help you analyze yourself. I'm talking about what goes on inside after you and I are saved. There's an untamed aggressiveness in all of us. A rage and hunger that destroys sometimes even relationships. And sometimes to others, the passive lamb is predominant at times, yes. That means it's timid and afraid. That means that they refuse to roar when it's needed. And sometimes the lamb needs to roar. And the lion needs to be quiet. Because if the lamb is not roaring, you'll never be a soul winner. You'll never do those things that God wants us to do to give the gospel out. So to others, the passive lamb is predominant. And then they become a victim by being timid and afraid and refuse to roar, to take a defense sometimes. They become a victim without the power and the courage and the lion-hearted love of Christ. Because Christ is both. What Christ does to help is help take the aggressiveness in us and make it more peaceful for cause of Christ. And then take what is gentle in us and make it more brave if it's needed. And I come to this place, there are some times I need to be gentle but brave. And there's some times I don't need to be roaring, but the lion needs to be timid. And so when I looked at these two errors that is in me now that I'm saved, my question is, which one am I? Which one do I need the most? Which one do you need the most? And I began to see, I need the gentleness of the lion in me. Because most of the time the lion wants to roar. And I also need the roaring of the lamb. Because a lot of times the lamb just wants to be timid and quiet and just, you know, led to the slaughter. And that's where Jesus was at. Most of us need both. I need both. But I need them balanced. I need the lamb to roar sometimes to give me brave and make me not afraid. And I need the lion to be timid sometimes so people can see something in me other than a roaring lion. God's word comes to this zoo that's in our bodies. In Christ, the lion and the lamb in you are no longer split off in conflict, but brought together into a creative relationship. And only in Christ can the lion and the lamb live in harmony. That is, the old nature and the new nature live in harmony. There's no harmony in the old nature and the new nature without Christ, and you can't have the new nature without Christ. So the only nature one has without Christ is the old nature. And so what does it do? It's trained to do just what it does. It'll cuss you. It'll tear you up, it'll stab you, it'll destroy you, it'll talk about you, it'll do everything the old nature always does. It's got a curse on it, and it does exactly what the fallen nature does. They'll lie on you. It's all there. But when the new nature comes in, something happens. And so only in Christ can we see the Lion and the Lamb live in harmony. Now, how can this take place? And I'm going to close with this thought. How can, now that I'm saved, old nature, new nature, and I look at that analysis of the Lion and the Lamb now is living in me? And the answer I find is not a strategy. And by the way, I had that word before the debates last night, the other night too. So I say, amen, listen to the debate. No, this came up many weeks ago and studied this over the weeks. What I'm saying to you, that this Lion and Lamb that has harmony, is not a strategy, it's not a therapy, it's not a program. It's a person. Jesus Christ is His name. It is a person. It is a deep relationship which is called in the Bible, Romans 5, the Lion of Judah, and it's called in John 1:29, when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He's both. He's both. His name is Jesus. In Him, the life of the Lion and the Lamb dwell together. To some, He's all Lamb. Timid. God is somebody to love. Never see the other side. Then to others, He's all Lion. Strength. Judgment. Condemnation. I mean, He comes with wrath, looking at others. Then those who are like the Lamb are gentle. You know, they kind of meek and weak looking. So holy, pious. Oh my. God wants the Lamb to learn to roar. He wants the Lion to learn to be like a Lamb. And you got harmony when God can help you do that. And you and I be what we need to be. That is, you will understand how it is when someone may curse you when you talk to them about Jesus Christ. You want to be like a Lion. Roar! But He wants it to be like a Lamb. Jesus was led to the slaughter like a Lamb. You think He could have snapped every one of them into hell just by looking at them, batting an eye. But He went like a Lamb to the slaughter. But what a inspiration that He is to you and I in this life. Jesus shows us their face together. He shows how to operate. Like a Lion, He roars with judgment and strength and power. But like a Lamb, He's gentle, caring for the weak, suffering, forgiving sin. And a dumb led to the slaughter. Behold, the Lamb of God which take away the sin of the world. Look at the balance that He had. He could stand before a group of people and take a whip and run them out of the temple because they made His Father's house a den of thieves. But He loved them like a Lamb. He didn't leave that temple. "Bless God, I'll come back tomorrow. I'll get you all. That's all right. I'll take care of you, son. You're not bigger. I'll take..." No, that's not what He did. When He was using the whip in righteousness, He had a Lamb in His heart to love those people. And it wasn't long before He was taken to the slaughter. Jesus showed their faces together. Revelation 5. Turn there with me, please. I hit that this morning a little bit, and I didn't go a lot too far in it because I knew this was coming tonight. And watch now in our time together. In Revelation 5, we have this question asked: who is worthy to open the scroll? And I told you this morning that couldn't find nobody in the earth, in heaven, in the earth, or under the earth. John said no man was able to do it. And he said, "I wept much." Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we weep over things that gets us sentimentally, and we cry over stuff that gets to a heart that's not even real. But John wept much here because he realized how important it was, this scene, for that seals to be opened, that book. And no one could do it. And while he's weeping and wondering what goes on, one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, who who is worthy to open the scroll." Now visualize this is going on. And John is weeping because there's no one able, and he knows how important this is in the plan of God. And he has an elder that says to him, as he maybe he might have been in front of him, so I don't know where he was at.
He says to him, John, he says to him, weep not. Behold, the Lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. John, listen, the Lion of Judah has conquered. The Lion of Judah has prevailed. Now, can you see what John is thinking? The Lion of Judah, that's looking at David. That's sitting on the throne. That's a king in charge. That's a king with an army. That's a king with a battle. There's armed forces go forth, and the king has won. The king has prevailed. There is going to be victory because of the king. And he's expecting to see someone sitting on a throne like a king in royalty, in command, and in charge.
But watch what happens. And he said, I behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and the midst of the elders. It's like John says, here's what I'm expecting. And lo, I turn and I behold not a king sitting on a throne, but the king who has prevailed now is the Lamb of God. And instead of saying like a king sitting on the throne, the only thing you can say is, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Praise be unto God. Worthy is the Lamb. Because he's the one who's prevailed like a king. Great, powerful king, but he didn't do it with the arsons of the world. He did it as a lamb. Now, how does that apply to you and I? We go out to witness someone. They put us in the box with everybody in the world except who we are. And suddenly they begin to mock and ridicule. And here we find ourselves wanting to fight back. You slam my foot, put your foot in that door, and I'll slam it on yours. You get that attitude because that's the way we feel. But then the Lamb takes over. And you see things different. If not careful, you'll begin to weep, Brother John. You'll come back to this church and you'll pray. How many times we've been back and we prayed together with different ones because someone acted like a wild animal. And when we could have came back like a roaring lion, we came back like a lamb that roared, humble, prayerfully, powerfully at the throne of grace. And God used it. God used it. Now, every time, you can't stop what people say, you know. They're going to say what they want to say. But what will happen is, God will activate the Lamb in your heart to do the thing you need to do. And what happens is, God will give you a peace, an absolute peace. If you and I, listen, I guarantee you, if you and I would go and roar like the lion at that person's roar, we wouldn't have peace. You come back and begin to pray and say, God help me. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, well, wait a minute, son. You know, the Lamb says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When he comes back as the judge in the end of the age, he'll be roaring like a lion then. But right now, the peace of God, we have peace with God. That he helps us with this individual activity going on in our lives. And I say, let all the beast in us bow to him. Because by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you and I can act like a beast once in a while. We can. We can act like a beast. If something don't go our way, man, we'll come right at it. That's the way we are. You say, that's the way God made me. I know, but he wants to remake us. He wants to remake us. And you have to work on it. And I've got news for you. You'll be working on it just like I'll be working on it until Jesus comes. Because that old nature's there. And you hear me say so many times, Satan has a way to activate the old nature. And what happens? He sees he can't. And the lamb dominates by roaring like a lamb. You can't visualize that. But he's talking about the lamb dominates now by roaring. And he's in charge, which brings about an atmosphere to look at the world. See, you look at the world through the lamb's eyes and you weep because of the sin. If you look at it through the roaring lion's eyes, more than likely the flesh will enjoy it. And so now,
You just see things that God gives you, and suddenly you find yourself heading, Lord, please help me with this. Please help me with this. Lord, I never thought I'd go through this. I never thought, but help me with this. And all the beast in you will bow to, we need to let bow to him. In Christ, God will cause the lion and the lamb in us to become God's peace and pleasure in service. And only God can give peace and harmony between the two that lives in us. This is zoo that's in us that brings out these reactions of animals and so forth. That song, Red Foliage, so many years ago, I know it, you know, it's a song good, but there's peace in the valley. There cannot be any peace in our soul without the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that chorus of that song. There will be peace. And I'm going to sing it for you. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I pray. There be no sickness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me. My Father, I thank you for the Prince of Peace. I thank you, Lord, for the word tonight. And I believe all of us have to realize there's a lot we have to work on, Lord. We see when Paul said, I'm not arrived as of yet. Lord, I shall be saved. In fact, the 27th, which was yesterday, I believe, been saved 49 years. And yet I thought when I got saved, within a few weeks, I'd have everything in line, never had no more problems after that. But we find out, Father, the battle just started. I don't want to be fooled into thinking that things go the way they go and can't be changed because you've made a new creation in us. I pray tonight, Lord, homes will be better. Husband and wife will have better relationships. Children to the parents, parents to the children would be better. Maybe brothers and sisters, who knows, cousins, whatever would be better because they gave their time tonight and we looked at ourselves through the Word of God as the lamb and the lion lives in us. And the lion wants to roar all the time. And the lamb is timid and sits back and says very little and takes a lot. Help us, dear Lord, to see that there's a time that the lamb needs to roar. And when he does, there'll be a compassion with that. It won't sound like the lion roaring, but show forth strength and courage. And there's sometimes the lion needs to be like the lamb. And you see that there's a growth. And dear Father, when the lion has the strength, when the lamb has the strength and the courage to stand true for the things of God, and the lion begins to not be predominant to bring out the flesh, God, the Spirit would help us have harmony. And we'll have peace in our heart. And that peace in our heart will help us have peace in the world. And God has proved that. There's coming a day when Jesus himself, the Prince of Peace, sets up his kingdom here on this earth. The whole countenance of the animals will change. And they'll be lived peacefully during that time because the Prince of Peace is here. The saints of God will be ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ, even though there'll be people on the earth who still has that battle. But the dominance here will be that the Prince of Peace is ruling. And for that 1,000 years, Christ will rule and reign. But Lord, we're not arrived there yet. We need to know the secret, what takes place in our hearts. Please help us work on it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.